A couple weeks ago, I said that we were going to, start a study about church history and about the Articles of Faith. And a couple weeks ago when we talked, I talked about the early church of the Nazarene and what Dr. Brzee, he started the church as a missional church, is what he wanted. He got away from the church he was in to the mission work that he was so desired to do, which was a street ministry in Los Angeles. And he grew his church into this, to where we're at today. And I'm not going to go really a lot into church history, because I want to talk about one of the Articles of Faith. And part of this was, this series is about believing what you know, okay? Knowing what you believe and believing what you know. And sometimes I think we kind of get mixed up in knowing what we know. Make sense to you? Because each doctrine, each church, there's many churches out there that have their own doctrinal views. And a lot of people come from different churches, and they come from different backgrounds. And many of us did. I came from a Pentecost background. And I know their doctrinal views. Okay, I've studied the Calvinistic views within the Baptist church, so I kind of know what their doctrinal views are. But many people were raised in the Baptist church, and then through the years they end up maybe here, or maybe vice versa, end up in another church. Well, the church that you attend, I think it's important to know what they believe. Okay, if you're going to be a member of the Nazarene church, you need to know what the Nazarene church believes. And then believe that. If you're going to be a Nazarene, I tell people this all the time when I witness to them. If they don't want to come to our church, then go to a church. Find a church that you fit into and go to that church. If you're going to be a Baptist, be the best Baptist you can be. If you're going to be a Nazarene, be the best Nazarene that you can be. But be that. Go and get involved and work for the Lord, because that's what's most important, is that you're saved and then you're doing what God wants you to do. Just like Brother Brian. You're doing what God wants you to do, whether it's here or whether it's there. Do what God wants you to do. So one of the things I think that our church, or one of the articles of faith, is the Trinity. We believe in the Trinity. We believe in the Godhead, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I think there's a lot of confusion over that. A lot of people don't understand that. And that's easy to take that perception, because it is. It's hard to understand God. We can't understand God. I'll put it that way. To understand the Trinity, if we look at it in simple form, we can simplify it and make it understandable. But to understand how it works in heaven and what it really looks like, that's hard. Because we really don't know. And as Paul said, we see through a glass darkly. Here, we see through a glass that's darkened. But only face to face with Him will we know. And that's what I want to say, because there's some scriptures in the Bible that talk about the Godhead, especially in the King James Version of the Bible. It mentions the Godhead. It mentions it three times in the King James, but it doesn't mention it in the NIV as Godhead. Okay, Trinity, the word Trinity is not in the Bible. That word is not in there. Okay? But the references to, in Scripture, the references to the Trinity, three parts in one, are throughout the Scriptures, from Genesis all the way through Revelation. And one of the Scriptures that you won't find that will be different in the King James than it is in the NIV is 1 John 5:7. In 1 John 5:7, has anybody got a King James Bible? I don't have my phone on. My phone's down there. Read first, if you don't mind, Ginger, while I'm speaking, find 1 John 5:7 and read that in the King James, if you don't mind. And the reason some of these scriptures are not, they're different from the NIV to the King James, and I want to clarify some of this, because some people ask these questions. And the reason they're not in there is because in the Greek text, when you look at the Greek text and where they were translated from, there's not enough scripture, or there's not enough evidence of 1 John 5:7 That's the reason they did not put it in the NIV, because there's no evidence of that scripture being quoted in the Greek text. And that's where it was translated from. And it didn't show up in the King James until after the 1500s, which is something interesting too. All the transcripts before that, the manuscripts or the translations that they had before the 1500s, that wasn't in there. And then in 1500, it shows up in the King James Bible as 1 John 5:7. Can you read that, Ginger?
For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one.
Okay, so it says that these three bear record in heaven, which is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, okay? And in the NIV, it does not read that. In the NIV, I'll just show you what it reads here. It says in 5:7 here, it says, "For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement." And that's what it says. It doesn't say that it bears it in heaven. What the King James does is it shows the difference between what's in heaven that bears witness and what's on earth that bears witness. Okay? There's three on earth, and then there's three in heaven. Okay? And so that's the reason you'll see these kind of, and some people call them discrepancies, some people call them, you know, well, the NIV's not right because of this. Well, there's a reason why, and when you study and you understand why those were not put in there or why they were put in there, sometimes, then there's a lot of debate over that. But I wanted to bring that out to you tonight before we go any further. So 1 John 5:7, I like what the King James says there, okay? And so there's a debate over that. There's a debate between theologians on whether 5:7 really should be left in there or not, okay? So, but there is a definite reference to the three parts, right? Regardless of John 5:7 or not being in there, okay? Being in there or not. The three that testify is the Spirit, the water, and the blood. Now, that's three parts, right? It's hard to understand the three parts. They're actually three persons of God. Okay? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's not only just three parts, but they are three persons, okay, which make up the Godhead. And like I said, it's mentioned three times, referred to as a Godhead, not Trinity, because Trinity's not in there. And there's many other words that we use that refer to not only just like we refer to the triune Godhead, but also like the rapture. The word rapture is not a word that's in the scripture either, but it's something that refers to scripture, that an event that's going to happen for the church. Okay, the rapture. But you'll find those things. Acts 17:29, it says there's a Godhead. Romans 1:20 says there's a Godhead. And in Colossians 2:9, it refers to the Godhead, and it's mentioned three times. And I think that's kind of strange that it's mentioned, not just strange, but something significant that it's mentioned three times, and we're talking about the triune Godhead, which is the Trinity, three, you know, we get into all that. I said something this morning, I want to get through this as quick as possible tonight. The number three, I said that numbers have a significant meaning in the Bible. When we look at the number three, I talked about the numbers this morning, 12 and 11, being 11 was disorder, incompleteness, but the number 12 was complete, and that's why they had to find another disciple to take Judas's place. And so, but number three in the Old Testament, in the sacred scriptures, represents something solid, something real, something substantial, something that is complete. The number usually indicates something of importance, significance. God's plan of salvation is part of that number. Let me read a few things. There was three patriarchs of the church in Israel: Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There are three verses in the priestly blessings, which is Yahweh, God's holy covenant name, appears three times. Three times the angelic seraphim cry. Now this is something I like. They cry, "Holy, holy, holy," in heaven. Okay? They say it three times. Holy to the Father, holy to the Son, and holy to the Holy Spirit. Three times. That's something that was brought out. Baby Moses was hidden by his mother for 3 months. Let's see, there were three divisions in the desert tabernacle. This is all in the scripture about, I like reading this. God is mentioned three times in the Shemot, the Old Covenant, profession of faith. The three attributes of God mentioned in Exodus are Hin, Rechem, and you won't. They're compassionate and loving and kindness. I just wanted to say that. Okay, three also, the biggest thing is, three also recognizes the number of the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's the big thing right there. But I'll quit with all these number stuff. So if we think about God being in three parts or three persons, we to understand the Trinity, I think at best, let's look at Genesis. First of all, we have to try to look at Genesis here. Genesis chapter 1. If you got your Bibles. Verse 26. This is still talking about the Trinity, the proof of the Trinity, because there's a lot of churches out there that don't believe in the Trinity. Believe it or not, there's churches out there that don't believe in the Trinity. They believe in one God and one God only. They don't believe there's three persons they think that, and there's some that think we believe in three gods, and we don't believe in three gods. We believe in one God. We believe that one God has three parts or three persons that make up the one God. And so, but in Genesis is another proof. Like I said, the Trinity is proven through Scripture from Genesis all the way to Revelation. But we're going to just pick a couple of them because I don't have near enough time tonight. It says, then God said in verse 26, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish and the sea and on. Why would God say, let us, okay, make man in our image, okay? Who is he talking to? That was a reference to the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit as one God, okay? When we look at the word God used in the Hebrew context here in Genesis, it is Elohim, the word Elohim. And the Elohim is a plural word, meaning more. It's a plural word. There's more. It's a number for meaning more than one. Okay? And so if we're going to understand, by saying that, if we're going to understand who we are, okay, we're going to understand what the Trinity is, we have to understand us. Okay? Because we were created, my point is we were created in God's image. Okay? So if we were created in God's image, what is that? So are we created in three parts also, right? We're created in three parts also. So, let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5.23. 1 Thessalonians 5.23. Back to the New Testament. And this is how we see who we are. Who we are, how we're made. It says here, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So right here in the scripture, it tells us that we have three parts also, right? It says that we have a spirit, a soul, and a body, okay? So if we're made in God's image, then God must be, what, three parts, right? Or three persons, a body, a soul, and a spirit, or the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's hard for us to understand, but if we were created in God's own image, surely we are three parts as one. And that's what it says right here. We are a body, a soul, and a spirit. Okay, and how's that all made up? Well, if you think about your body, your fleshly body, then we have a soul, and then we have an inner spirit. But yet we are born, unlike God being perfect, and unlike Jesus when he was born on this earth, he was born complete. He was born perfect, right? He was fleshly body, he was born with a soul and born with a spirit, okay? We are born, we have a body, soul, and spirit, but we have a dead spirit when we're born because we're born in sin because of the fall of Adam and Eve, okay? So we're born, really, the way we can look at this is we were born two-thirds of a man, okay? So if we look at two-thirds of a man, okay, two-thirds of a man, all right, in fractional form, when we look at this, it is the number, when you do two-thirds of any number, you come up with this, 0.666. Wow, right? Let's look at Revelation chapter 13, verse 18. In verse 18 of Revelation chapter 13, it says this. It says, "This calls for wisdom. Let the person who has insight calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of the man, of a man." That number is 666. Number 6 is the number of a man in the Hebrew language. Number 6 is the number of a man. And when we look at this, this is referring to the beast, the mark of the beast, and it's referring to the Antichrist that's coming, which he'll put a mark on your head. That three sixes that come together is his, he wants to be like God, right? So he's trying to present himself as the Trinity. 666. Three parts, right? Three parts. Now, that's kind of hard for us to understand, but we're born two-thirds of a man. Why? Because when we're born in sin and we haven't received the Holy Spirit yet. We talked about the Holy Spirit this morning. So when we receive the Holy Spirit, when we get saved and receive the Holy Spirit, then we're complete again, okay? When we get raptured up, then we're fully complete when we get our glorified bodies. Then we're like God again, okay? Because he made us in his own image. We're not going to be God, we're going to be like him because we're made in his image. And we won't do that until we die and go to heaven. Okay? I know it's hard to understand, but this is the easiest way I know to explain this. We need to be born again in order to be complete. That's part of it. We have to be born again. We receive that fullness of the Spirit that lives within us. Okay? Let's look at John chapter. Let's see. That's not right. And see, that's the problem. It's hard for people to understand is that we have the Trinity is made up of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit, soul, and the body. The Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, the body, which is Jesus Christ, the Word, and the soul, which represents the Father in heaven. Okay, and if we are those three parts, but yet born with a dead spirit, that's why it's so important for us to be saved, to be spirit-filled, okay? Does it make sense to you? Is that clarifying anything tonight about the Trinity? Now, I know, I mean, because a lot of people say, well, it's like a piece of ice, you know, or it's like this, or it's like a football. Because a football is made up of three parts too, right? So you have a football, and you have the outer skin, and then you have a bladder that's on the inside, and then you have the air which is inside the bladder. But yet it's still called a football, but without any of those parts, it really doesn't work right, right? It's really not a football unless it has all three of those parts. Does that make sense to you? So you couldn't use any of that football unless it had all three parts. Well, God's kind of the same way, but yet it's hard for us to understand that. And so many people are so confused about about what we're talking about. They're confused about how to explain that. So, you know, how would you explain it to somebody? Okay, I believe in the Trinity. I believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Why do you believe that? I've had people ask because I've had discussions with people in different denominations that don't believe in the Trinity. And they'll say, how can you believe in three gods? I don't believe in three gods. I believe in one God that has three parts, has three persons, has the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I believe in that. Well, how can you see that? Well, okay. Genesis, it says this. Okay. 1 John 5:7 says this. Okay. 1 Thessalonians says this. We're made up of this. We are made up of a body, a soul, and a spirit. Why? Okay. Because we're made in God's own image. Okay? So we are three parts. Am I confusing anybody tonight, or am I making sense to you? And we're born two-thirds of a man because of the fall of Adam. And because of that, that's the necessity why we have to be saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. And I talked about being filled with the Holy Spirit this morning because today's Pentecost Sunday. That's why it was so important that the Spirit came to those disciples. Does it make sense now? Somewhat? I know that, you know, it takes a lot sometimes to grasp. And when I think about it, still, even with getting this simplified form here, and when I still try to think how it is in heaven, and, you know, it says that Stephen got to look into heaven and he saw Jesus sitting at the right hand of God, right hand of the Father. He saw that. He was able to see that. John, you know, when we're studying Revelation, says John was in the Spirit. He got to, and when he turned around, he saw all these things. He recognized Jesus' voice, but he saw all these things. It's hard for us to comprehend that. Only a few have really got to look in and see it for real. And we won't know it until we cross over into heaven. The only thing I can say is, when we understand the Trinity, we understand that we need to be born again. It makes it more urgent to me that I speak this to other people. Because if they don't get born again, they won't make it to heaven. They won't make it to heaven. Why do I say that? Because if you don't have the Holy Spirit living within you, you won't make it to heaven. Because you're not saved. And you'll never understand. And that's what we talked about this morning. People will never understand. They won't understand the Trinity. They won't understand anything about God until you're born again. I have to, you know, bring that out in any message. It is so important that we be born again. It's so important that we get out and testify and witness. And that's why I'm saying this. It's important for the church. It's important for not only just me, but for you to understand. Know what you believe. Know what you believe. And believe what you know. Okay? Know this stuff. It's important that we read. And that was last week's message. Read your Bible. Know it. Read it. Study it. Understand it. God will give you the understanding. But it is important that we know what we know so that when we get asked questions, we can answer those questions. I'm telling you, it will make it easier for you to witness to people. There's so many confused people out there, and in today's society, Satan is doing his job well. And he's confusing people. And they're taking Scripture and they're manipulating the Scripture to make it sound like it's right, and it's not right at all. And that's why I feel an urgency to teach this. I really do. I feel this urgency to teach this, and I feel this urgency to push people to read and to study and to know your Bible. Because it is important. I mean, we have a lot of messed up people out there that are, and I'm talking about messed up churches, people that are teaching wrong doctrine. And it says in the last days that people will be doing that. And we're there. We are in those last days. I see Scripture. You can read your Bible and you can see Scripture that has been fulfilled before our eyes. I can tell you right now, we are living in those days right now. And that's the urgency I have. I want to see no one fail. Especially my friends and my family. Anybody here in this church? I don't want to see anybody fail. And that's where my heart is. We have to get out there and be the church. We have to get out there and teach correct doctrine. We have to stand up for what we believe, and we have to know what we believe, and then believe what we know, and go out and apply it to the... That's what. It's not about the knowledge that we get and retain it. We can get a lot of knowledge and retain a lot of things. It's about the application of the knowledge that God has given us. And we're going to be judged for that. We're going to stand before Him, and He's going to say, okay, what did you do? I told you all this stuff. I taught you. You had all this in front of you, but what did you do with it? Did you do it like I asked? Did you go and did you do that? It's never too late. It's never too late. I don't care what age you are. I don't care if it's not about what happened yesterday. It's about what you do today and tomorrow and the next day after that and the next day after that. We got to forget about what happened yesterday, what I didn't do, because I can think of 100 things in my past that I should have done and wished I would have done. All I got to do is say, from now on, Lord, I promise I'll do my best to live every day to the best of my ability, and I'm going to go out and I'm going to preach Your Word, and I'm going to teach Your Word, and I'm going to go out there and witness in the highways, the byways, wherever I have to go. I'm going to do what You tell me to do. I'm going to listen to the best that I can, and I'm going to teach Your Word to the best of my ability. That's Amen. What we got to do, church. That's what God wants us to do. I love it this morning when people come to the altars and I see them pour their heart out. They're searching. They need God. And it's not about that they've done something wrong. Sometimes we just need to come and just say, God, I love You. We just need to pour our hearts out and say, God, You're the one who saved me. You're the one who created me in Your image. And I thank You for that. I'm going to live my life for You. That's what we got to do. We got to just praise Him. And that's the first thing we do, is just lift Him up and praise Him. Because it's about Him. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's so many years, I think. So many times I've just went through the motions. Go to church, play some music, sing a song, hear some messages, maybe preach a message and go home. Come back Sunday night, do the same thing. Walk by people down the street, go to Walmart, never say a word. I've got to stop doing that. God put that on me. Got to stop doing that. Now it's about, how you doing? I talk to anybody I could possibly get an opportunity to talk to. And I'm not, please don't think I'm patting myself on the back. But it's what God told me to do. It takes effort. It's not easy to talk to people sometimes. Some people don't want to talk to you. Some people just don't want to talk to you. But you'll be surprised how many, if you'll say, can I pray with you? They'll say, please, would you pray for me? You'll be amazed how many times people will say, yes, please pray for me. I just hope this encourages you. I hope it explains a little bit about what the Trinity is. Study it. Okay, there's a lot to it. There's a lot to it. But yet it can be simplified, but yet it's still complex. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for Your Word, Lord. I hope that I spoke it exactly like You wanted me to, Lord. Lord, I just ask that Your Holy Spirit dwell in this place. Lord, dwell in me. Dwell in each person that's in here tonight, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit take complete control of our lives. Lord, let us be good witnesses in the community. Let us lead people to Christ. Let us lead people to you, Lord. Lord, let your Holy Spirit be in complete control of our wisdom. Lord, we're here to serve you. Lord, just gift us in what we need. I praise you and I thank you. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen.